And welcome back to the Rick House. Cyrus Farmer here, Stomp the T. We're here for yet another scintillating episode. And let me tell you some of the things we're going to get into tonight. We're going to be talking about, obviously, the golf ball explained. What makes up a golf ball? How you can use this knowledge to actually help cater the golf ball you use to improving your game and your scoring. We're also going to be talking about the infamous original ostrich napping pillow. I had a chance to try it out. Some of you may have seen the clip that we put on the socials of me using the pillow on a plane. So I will give you my thoughts on that particular contraption, as well as the ever popular, what are you drinking tonight? So let's get started. Before we do anything, I do want to tell you that if you like the content you see here, tell your friends, tell your enemies. Don't forget to like, subscribe, watch, pass along anything you would do to support any show or product that you like. Now, again, we are efforting to get the audio version of this, and I think we're probably only a couple of weeks away, as well as the website up and running. So just hang tight. I haven't forgotten about all you people out here. Just hang with me and just take in the content where we give it to you now, which is usually on our socials. Okay. Before we get too started, before we get too into the episode, I do want to say a couple words about the election, the 2024 presidential election that just took place. Now, look, I know that there are people who think that this country is divided. And I think that it would be fair to say that there is a kind of a split in the country, whether you want to call it 50-50, 48-52, 51-49, whatever. Whatever the case may be. Here at Stomp the T, I am here to tell you that regardless of the winner of the election, obviously, former President Donald Trump won and is the new president-elect and will be sworn in as the 47th president of the United States come January. Vice President Harris ran a valiant campaign, but fell short of her actual goal of winning. Regardless, we here at Stomp the T are still going to do the same things that we have always done. And we will never let one person, be that man or woman, define how we move through the world and our unending pursuit of the good life. We are still going to drink bourbon. We're still going to play golf. We're still going to do the things that we normally do in life. So let that be known, and really, we're all Americans. For those of you who voted, kudos, and I salute you. For those of you who didn't vote, the fortunate part is we're all Americans, and you get a chance to do it the next cycle if you choose to. Voting is a right. It is not necessarily a requirement, although it doesn't really take that much to vote. You know, it's a few hours of your day. You know, at worst, it's the least you can do if you're living in a democracy. Either way, let's get started with the show. Now, I got to say, a couple things right off the top. Dodgers, congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Boy, oh boy, they played such good baseball. I was happy for Dave Roberts. I was happy for Mookie Betts. Obviously, we know from the last episode, I unfortunately continued to call Mookie Betts Mookie Blaylock. Bad on me. I'm an idiot. I was happy for Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, the World Series MVP, and all the Dodgers. Their pitching staff did an unbelievable job. So good for them. They just played better baseball than the Yankees. They were a better team, and they are a true and worthy champion. They deserved to win the World Series. So good for them. And this is a Dodger team that I think is going to be around for a little while. they could actually be in it year in, year out, because they've been in it year in, year out for the last several years without winning outside of 2020, of course. So good for them. Congratulations. I don't know. I mean, if you're a Yankee fan, which I am, where do you go? I mean, could you possibly fire, or should say, let's say, move on from a manager like Aaron Boone after he took you to the World Series? Do the Yankees need to reconsider Brian Cashman's position in the organization? I mean, he has been there an awfully long time. It may not be the worst thing in the world to get some fresh eyes on this franchise moving forward. Personally, I don't think any of that is going to happen, but if it did, it probably would not bother me. I think they could probably use a fresh set of eyes, both managing and directing the franchise's fortunes, but that is just me. Congratulations to the Yankees on a fantastic season. They fell a little short, but only because they ran into a better team, in my opinion. All right. I also got to talk a little bit about the Eagles. This Eagle team has been very strange, I have to say. I don't know if this is a mirage or if they are possibly the real deal. And I'll tell you when I'll find out. I'm going to find out in the next 4 weeks. So will you. Eagles have an interesting stretch ahead of them. In the next 4 weeks, they have the Cowboys. They have the Washington Commanders. They have the Los Angeles Rams. And they have the Baltimore Ravens. If the Birds, in my opinion, if they can go 3-1 in that stretch, then they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They will have I think 9-3 at that point would be their record, if I'm not mistaken. And they will be right on the heels, presumably, of the Detroit Lions, who I think, obviously, by anyone's estimation, are the clear favorite to come out of the NFC. Can you imagine the Eagles and the Lions fighting for home field at the end of the season to see who could host a potential NFC championship game for the right to go to the Super Bowl? I think these two teams are on a collision course. And we shall find out whether what I think is true or not as the season progresses. Eagles. All right. The golf ball explained. Let's talk a little bit about the golf ball. I mean, everyone has their favorite club. Most people are in love with their putters, unless they're not. Usually depends on how well you're actually putting. But the golf ball is the one piece of equipment that you use as a golfer every single stroke of a round. It doesn't change, obviously, unless you lose a few balls, which I have been known to do on more than one occasion. So what is a golf ball? There are a couple of different kinds of golf balls. And generally speaking, golf balls come in kind of two categories. There's a two-piece golf ball. That is, just to explain, I'm going to refer to my notes here. Two-piece, it consists of a core and a cover, right? So a two-piece ball, it has a larger core, because obviously the only thing outside of the core is the cover. So by definition, the core is larger. So it has a larger core and it's softer, and that usually helps reduce the spin and increase the distance of its use. It also kind of helps, it tries to help maintain a softer feel. You can argue whether or not that's true or not with a two-piece ball. Most two-piece balls are considered value-based. Now, that means that they're affordable. They are for people who are hackers, duffers, describe them any way you want, but people who don't want to spend a lot of money on golf balls usually end up buying a two-piece golf ball because they're cheaper. Point blank. Now, the other kind of golf ball that you'll find is a three-piece golf ball. Some people call it multi-layer, but with the three-piece, it has the same components of the two-piece, which is the core and the cover. But in between the core and the cover is another layer, and that is called the mantle. Now, what is the mantle and what is it good for? The mantle, literally, it's used to kind of transfer the energy for the ball to create speed and distance, and it also helps fine-tune the ball for feel and spin. Now, the mantle also creates a firm layer for the cover to compress against, and it creates short game spin on shots with a more glancing blow. Now, what does all that mean that I just said? Who knows? Bunch of mumbo jumbo. Basically, a three-piece ball is designed for people, golfers, who actually score well and they want to control their ball. Now, the advantage of a three-piece ball is that it will give you more control over your golf ball if you have the skill to actually control it. It's possible to slice or hook any golf ball, no matter how expensive or inexpensive it is. But the higher skill level you have, the more control you will have over a three-piece ball or a multi-layer ball. So, most of you already know this, but this information is for people who may not know it. Covers. Cover on the ball. For a two-piece ball, the cover is usually made of something called Surlyn or Ionomer. It's essentially the same product. It's a resin. It's a thermoplastic. The brand name Surlyn was created by DuPont, if I'm not mistaken. And Ionomer is basically, it's like Tylenol versus aspirin or Kleenex versus facial tissue. It's essentially the same product. Now, some of the advantages of a Surlyn cover. Again, you'll find a Surlyn cover on a two-piece ball is that they are very difficult to destroy. They're incredibly tough-skinned, hard to cut them, hard to scuff them up. It has a high resilience. Now, this I actually found interesting. The two-piece ball with a Surlyn cover has a high resilience, which means that the ball will bounce back to its original shape after impact. And that's what helps it create distance when you actually hit the golf ball, which I thought was fascinating. Another big thing about two-piece golf balls, again, we mentioned this before, and also the Surlyn cover, they're just more affordable. Now, the three-piece golf ball or the multi-layer golf ball, it normally comes with a urethane cover. Now, urethane will grip your grooves more. It creates more spin, whether you're hitting it off the tee or whether you're around the greens or using your approach iron. And a lot of people who actually play golf well really appreciate the ability to spin that ball because that means you can hold the green on a shot from 165 yards out or a pitch from 6 yards just off the green. That is, again, if you have the skill to actually make the ball do what you want it to do. Generally speaking, two-piece balls are for people with lower swing speeds, most amateurs. Three-piece balls are for your very low handicappers or your professionals, obviously, because their swing speeds are higher and they can actually make the ball dance the way that most amateurs cannot. Now, I have to say, my golf journey, I used to try all sorts of things to improve my game. For years, I would play kind of like a mid-range golf ball, the Nike golf ball. I think it was the Nike One. For years, I played. And then I switched over to the Bridgestone. Not the E6, but the upper lever. It was I think it was the 330. I used to play the Bridgestone 330. But look, as I've told you all before, I'm a lousy golfer. I mean, I really, really, really am not a good golfer at all. So when I lose, let's say, 6 balls in a round of golf, and it costs $5 a piece, it's not as much fun as losing 6 balls when they cost $1.25 each, like the Nitro or the Wilson Chaos. So the problem is, if you play a Nitro or if you play a Chaos, you're only going to get so much out of your game. You can't control the ball if you actually happen to hit a good shot when you're around the greens as well as you would be able to control a Pro V1 or the TaylorMade or the upper end Callaway. So here's the suggestion. I'm going to take my own advice as well. I'm going to start buying different sleeves of golf balls. And you can do your research. Golf Magazine did a wonderful article on golf balls and which companies make the best ones and the pros and cons of each company's different line. You can definitely check that. I think it came out last month. Golf Magazine article. So definitely a great resource for you. If I can, I'll try to put a link in to the socials so you can actually look that up. Definitely try and experiment with different golf balls because I want to score a little better. Like, who doesn't? And I think I might actually go from my, you know, I'm not playing my the Rock Flight. You know, some people call a Top Flight a Rock Flight golf ball. So I'm not playing that, but I am playing a very, very, very cheap golf ball these days. But I feel like my swing is getting a little better. So I'm going to actually step up my expense on golf balls to see if I can actually improve my scoring. All right. One last piece of information. A lot of people talk about dimples in the golf ball, right? They say, my ball has 256 dimples, so that's going to help me da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da when I play golf. Just know this. Dimples, the amount of dimples in a golf ball is almost immaterial to the golf ball's value. It's simply a statistic. Knowing the amount of dimples on a golf ball doesn't make it a premium golf ball. It's like knowing the horsepower of your car. There are any number of different elements that contributes to a car's performance, not just horsepower. So it's the same thing with dimples. Yeah, if you want to know how many dimples your golf ball has, that's great. It's a cocktail party information, but it's not necessarily going to make you score any better or any worse. It's just a statistic. So, take that for what it's worth. Moving on. Yes, one of the moments we've all been waiting for. My thoughts on the original ostrich napping pillow. Guys, I got to tell you, this thing, wow, what a revelation. I have to say, okay, so those of you who have been to our TikTok account, and I linked the video to the other socials as well. See me putting on the ostrich, I'm sorry, the original ostrich napping pillow on the plane. And I did try it out on the plane. I have to tell you, when you put it on, this is, for those of you who haven't seen it, this is the original ostrich napping pillow, which takes up an enormous amount of space in your carry-on luggage. Just let's get that out front. But I will say this, it's a little warm because it covers your entire head. But surprisingly, it is breathable. That warmth doesn't make you sweat. It actually kind of makes you feel cozy. Strange, but kind of a nice side effect. I do have to say that the holes, if you've seen the stuff that we put on the socials, these holes are here so that you can presumably lay your head down on your hand inside the pillow if you're sleeping face forward. But if I'm sleeping face forward and I'm laying down my head on my hands, I'd rather have them outside the pillow. This way. I have a pillow. I don't want to feel my hands. I mean, some of us are belly sleepers. Some of us are back sleepers. Some of us are side sleepers. I happen to be a 360-degree sleeper. I'm kind of a rotisserie sleeper. So at any given night, I might be in any one of those four positions. And even when I am at home and I'm sleeping on my belly, I don't sleep on my hands with my forehead on my hands. I have my hands under the pillow and sleep with my head on the pillow on my belly. So to me, the holes are the ear holes. It's a design aspiration, but it's a design flaw. There's no need for them. I mean, I assume they put them there so they can make it more breathable, which makes sense to a degree. I mean, you don't want to feel like you put on this giant puffy ski mask. So you put in the air holes to make it feel a little more breathable, but I can't find a use for the ear holes personally. I think they're kind of a waste. What else? So I tried it on the plane and I tried it at home. I tried it at home both in a napping mode, like while you're, let's say, I don't feel like going up to the bed and I'm home and I want to catch a few winks at a table or at a desk or on a couch or on the floor. I tried it that way. And I also tried it actually in the bed. One of the things about this pillow, it's a little strange, but I understand kind of why they did it. This portion at the bottom, now those of you, when you get the audio version of this, you won't be able to know what I'm talking about. So you have to go see the video version of this podcast. This portion is actually a little stiff. And I think they did that so that it kind of eliminates nodding when you're on a plane. So it kind of helps you, your head to stay more upright, which is fine. But it does get, I wouldn't say it's constricting, but when you're trying to take it off, for me at least, it always catches on my chin unless I take it off a certain way. But maybe I just have an unusually strong chin, who knows. The other thing about it is, if I were to give you my true assessment, now remember, this thing costs $99, $100. Granted, I have a small sample size with the pillow, and I'm going to be using it a couple more times between now and the end of the year because we got a couple trips planned that I'm actually going to be taking it out and using it to get more of a true sense of it. But at this point, I have to say, I think it may be better for resting than for sleeping. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when you're at home, you want to close your eyes. You're not necessarily napping. Sometimes you can actually close your eyes and fall asleep But sometimes you close your eyes and you just rest and you feel rejuvenated, whether that, you know, lasts for 5 minutes or 2 hours. And for that function, I think the original ostrich napping pillow is actually very useful. $99 useful, not sure about that, but very useful. As far as sleeping is concerned, I'm getting a lot of sleep using the original ostrich napping pillow. But again, small sample size. Let's see how it does on a couple of longer trips. I will report back any progress or lack of progress moving forward. Now, once again, always like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your enemies, support the show. To our number one fan segment. Folks, let me ask you a question. What are you drinking tonight? Well, I can speak for myself, and I will tell you, tonight I am drinking, and I want to say this the right way because it's kind of a mouthful. Tonight I am drinking Jimmy Russell's 70th anniversary 8-year-old release by Wild Turkey. Folks, this just came out. It's been advertised for a couple months now, and it's just recently been released within the last week or so. Let me give you some stats. Obviously, Wild Turkey Distilling Company from Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, is the producer and the bottler. It is 50.5% ABV. That's 101 proof. It's 8 years old, and it is, it's an 8-year-old bourbon, but also it's blended with 8 to 9-year-old other bourbons that are the favorites of the namesake, Jimmy Russell. And you can find it for about $50 a bottle. That's what I got mine for. Now, the mash bill is the same mash bill that Wild Turkey uses for almost all their bourbon and whiskey. 75% corn, 13% rye, 12% malted barley. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jimmy Russell is a legendary distiller. He started at Wild Turkey in 1954, 18 years old, sweeping up, doing odd jobs here and there. He stayed with the company for 70 years, worked his way up to being named master distiller in, I think it was 1967. So anyone who knows bourbon, anyone who knows whiskey, knows the name Jimmy Russell. He's a very, very, very seminal figure, much like Noe Booker and many other people. So, what do I think of it? It's interesting. You know, it's kind of a, has a good bit of spice, especially for something that's 101 proof. You know, I normally drink higher proof bourbons and whiskey, but, you know, sometimes you don't always want to wear a lampshade, as they say. This is actually, it's pretty good. I'm not in love, I do have to say, with some of the, with the packaging. I mean, this actual raised etch turkey is great. This Wild Turkey in white and the label on the front is fantastic. But when you go to the back and you're trying to read some stuff about the actual bottle, it's in this black, transparent label that is very difficult to read. I mean, I tried shining a flashlight on my phone on the front and realized it was much better if I shined the flashlight from the back to try and read some of the information that they were talking about. That aside, like I said, good good bit of spice. It has a relatively muted flavor profile, in my opinion. The best thing about it, I shouldn't say the best thing about it, but one of the best things about it is that it is affordable. Again, $50 a bottle. The problem is that it kind of reminds me a little bit of Elmer T. Lee. I don't know those of you who drink bourbon remember a bourbon called Elmer T. Lee, but there was one point where you could go to your liquor store and pick up a bottle of Elmer T. Lee for about the same price, $45, $40, $50 a bottle. And it was a very, very affordable, very high quality bourbon, much like Eagle Rare 10 used to be, much like Blanton's used to be. But as you all know, or may not know, Elmer T. Lee is now impossible to find. And because this Jimmy Russell's 70th anniversary, 8-year-old release is by definition a limited edition, I think it's going to be pretty hard to get your hands on very, very quickly. So do yourselves a favor. Go out and try to get a bottle or two of this, because I think it's going to be pretty hard to get your hands on it. Now, where do you buy it? Check with your local liquor store first, right? But I can tell you right now, I have a couple bottles from my local liquor store. But I also got this bottle, which was the first one I have, from the Wild Turkey website itself. They will actually allow you to buy a bottle from them, which I think is worth doing before it becomes completely ungettable. I'm not a big fan of hoarding, but I do think if you want to try something, you should try to get it early, because once it becomes unavailable, it's impossible to get it late. So I will say this, one last thought on this. I like this Jimmy Russell's 70th anniversary, 8-year-old release. It's very solid. There's nothing offensive about it. Would I buy this over Wild Turkey's Rare Breed at the same price point, $50 a bottle? No. Rare Breed, I think, is just a very, again, higher ABV, but it's just such a drinkable bourbon. Even the rye, which they sell for higher, it's about $60 a bottle, is very, very good. So this Jimmy Russell's 70th anniversary, 8-year release, it's good. It's solid. There's nothing wrong with it. But the reason you buy it is because I think very soon it's going to be very hard to buy. And you want to try it. And you want to be able to, you know, have it on your own palate instead of hearing stories about it. So do yourselves a favor, please go out, try to acquire it as quickly as you can, because I do have a sense that it is not going to be very available for much longer. And with that, we conclude tonight's episode. Folks, I think we're going to have a fun show for you next week. We're going to be going to a whiskey festival here in Philadelphia, and we're going to tell you all about that next week, along with some other things. So definitely stay tuned. As always, it has been my pleasure. And again, we will see you on the first tee. Cyrus Farmer, Stomp the Tee Podcast. We're out.